If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wherever you are in the world, hello and welcome to F1 Explains. This is the official Formula One podcast which answers your questions about F1. I'm Christian Hugill and we are recording this episode at the 2024 Dutch Grand Prix, doing something a little bit different. We're recording in a makeshift little studio inside F1 Paddock Club. So there are plenty of people milling around watching us. And if you've never heard us before, this is the official Formula One podcast that lives and breathes to answer your questions about the sport we all love. And this weekend, F1 is sharing the track with F1 Academy. We've spoken about it on the podcast many times before. It's the groundbreaking racing series for female drivers, and F1 Academy races on Grand Prix circuits, on F1 weekends all over the world. The drivers are supported by Formula One teams, and it's all aimed at creating more opportunities for women in motorsport on and off track. Now, there are two F1 Academy races here in the episode we're recording this weekend here at the Dutch Grand Prix, and we're delighted to welcome two of those drivers taking part who are joining us here on F1 Explains. A very warm welcome to Hamda and Amna Alkabazi. Hello, both. It's lovely to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
Got
a nice little round of applause from our audience as well. Guys, welcome. Have you ever been up into F1 Paddock Club before? What do you make of it?
I've been to the F1 Paddock just in Jeddah and Abu Dhabi, and I've been here for the first time, and I really like it, actually. It's a tent, so something different to what I'm used to.
Absolutely. So you guys are teammates at MP Motorsport, and the eagle-eared amongst our listeners will have noticed the same surname, because not just teammates at MP Motorsport, but sisters, which is fairly unique in motorsport. It's not unheard of. There are a couple of famous examples. So you are sisters, but are you rivals? Are you fierce competitors? Are you the ones you want to beat the most? How does your sort of inter-team dynamic work? Amna, starting with yourself.
I would say we're more of like, we do work as teammates. I mean, there's no hard feelings on or off track, but there is some competition over there. We're very competitive, so we always want to do better than the other, but we're always there for each other at the end.
Hamda, was it strange racing against your sister at first? Did that ever become normal? How does it work?
Well, I was always used to being a category under her. I remember in karting we did one race where I was in the same category as her, and that was the first time I raced against her. Let's just say it did not end well, and my father was like, okay, I don't think we'll put you in the same category again. But
are you allowed to go into what happened? Is this okay? Can we talk about this? Go on, what happened?
Well, she says I pushed her off. I didn't. I overtook her.
No, she took me out.
And are you sticking by this?
Yes, it's true. Even the steward was like, you're right, but I can't get involved because it's a family
issue.
Don't fall out. It'll make, you know, family events very, very awkward. But I'm imagining as well, it's nice to be able to help each other as well as being rivals.
Yeah, I think especially going into quali, we help each other in terms of slipstream, trying to make the most out of it. And we work as teammates. Other teams, you know, they don't have that advantage. We're sisters and we try to help each other.
Of course, this being an official Formula One podcast, a lot of our listeners are going to be F1 geeks like me and will remember that in the 90s and 2000s, there were brothers, Michael and Ralph Schumacher, who raced against each other and stood on the podium together. So is that something that you guys are aiming for in terms of the sister 1-2 in F1 Academy?
Yeah, well, we wish we could do that. I mean, last year we were on the podium together in Austria in F1 Academy, and we hope to replicate that this year as well.
That must have been a really proud moment.
Yeah, I mean, it was really nice. I was watching her battle for P1 in the distance, so I was in third place, so I was really hoping she wouldn't take P1 or herself out, and really, you know, we would make it to the podium this time together.
Don't crash, stay on the track, don't crash.
Yeah.
So you've got the 1-3, now the next step is the 1-2. So this episode of F1 Explains, as we're saying, is a special Ask an F1 Academy Driver special. We've had our listeners send questions from all over the world. Would you like a little bit of a stab at answering them? You're up for the challenge?
Yep.
Yes.
That is good. Racing drivers never back away from a challenge. So we'll talk about F1 Academy. And unlike F1, one of the big differences is every driver on the grid has the same car. So I really want to dig in and talk about that. Amna, starting with yourself, how is that different? How do you approach that as a driver, every driver having the same car?
I mean, we all have the same chassis and the same engine, but the teams make their own setup for each driver depending on how the driver's style is and how the team's experienced with the track. So yeah, we have the same chassis and the same engine, just different setups.
Hamda, is that a trickier test for a driver in a series where it's all the same car? How do you compare it?
I think obviously on track the driver makes the difference, and we can see here, especially in Zandvoort, it's really, really close with the timings. Even yesterday in free practice on the dry track, we were all very close, just half a tenth from each other, top three. So, yeah, you can see that the driver really makes a difference in the track, including setup. But, yeah, you always have to find that little half a tenth just to be up there.
I want to actually dig into setup a little bit, because that really is in a series where the cars are the same. We've spoken a little bit about it on this podcast before with Formula 2. Setup becomes really important. So I'm guessing that your feedback to the team as a driver must become important too.
Yeah, it's really important to give them the right feedback, especially not just the car in general, but how the car feels in every part of the corner, from entry to mid to exit, so they could come to a conclusion of what is a good setup required for your driving style or for your racing craft.
And let's talk a little bit more about the cars themselves. For anyone who's not yet managed to catch any F1 Academy or simply just doesn't know much about the vehicles, talk to us a little bit about them. What should we know about these machines you're racing?
Yeah, it's an F4 car, Tata's chassis, with just different rear wings and front wings. But overall, it's exactly like an F4 Tata chassis. We go up to 240 kilometer an hour.
About 150 mile an hour in British translation terms, for those people like me who don't understand kilometers an hour.
Exactly. And yeah, that's it. In the steering wheel, we have just four buttons that we use. So not so complicated like F1, but yeah.
Amna, I'm going to ask you a ridiculously basic question. You know, 1.4-litre engine, that is no small feat. How does it feel to drive one of these things? Because all of us here, we may get a lovely experience being in Paddock Club this weekend, but we'll sadly never drive one of those cars, which is very upsetting for all of us, isn't it? So talk to us about how it feels to drive these things.
I mean, they're very physical. We don't have power steer, so especially on a track like Zandvoort and racing during the F1 weekend, there's a lot of rubber on track. And it implements more physical aspects from us to take out into the car, into the track. I would say also the rear wing is very different to any other feeder series in single seaters, the front and rear wing. So that also plays a lot of a role in wind. So I would say the car is fun to drive, but also there is so many aspects to it, from the physical to the wind resistance to the G-force that we go through.
When I've interviewed F1 Academy drivers before, something they've told me that they've really loved about the series is that you're racing on Grand Prix circuits. And of course, Formula One prides itself on going to the finest venues all over the world. So we're recording this episode at Zandvoort, but F1 Academy races on such a mix of circuits. Barcelona, some are purpose-built racetracks like Barcelona and this one here at Zandvoort. But then there's also Singapore racing on city streets. Do you have to change the way you drive depending on the circuit?
Well, street circuits are very different and kind of new to me, especially to most of the drivers in the championship. And I feel like because most of us haven't been to those tracks, it's a learning process. You have to try to know where the track goes, how the track is, and then grip levels as well. It changes a lot between street circuits and normal circuits. So yeah, it's all a learning curve though, and I think from Miami and Jeddah we've learned quite a lot about street circuits, and going into Singapore it's going to be another step of a learning curve. So
it must be a real test for you as drivers.
Yeah, I mean, driving on street circuits, I mean, we're really close to the wall. If one mistake, we're into the wall. I mean, that's the end of our weekend. We don't have F1 mechanics that can fix the car in short amount of time, and then you're out there again. So it's really like we have to find that fine line of being around the limit but not too far beyond the limit.
If I'm going to ask you about one track in particular, I might as well make it Zandvoort, where we're recording the episode. Now, I went for a run the other night and realised I couldn't run up the banking. I'm not a professional racing driver. I'm not fit enough. The final corner is up a steep bank. And then the rest of the circuit's like a roller coaster. It's up, it's down, it's left and right, it's bumpy. What is that like to drive? It looks like it's a challenge from where I was running, let alone driving an actual vehicle.
Yeah, it's very technical. Especially the second sector, I would say, like going into turn 7, that downhill. It's a very technical circuit, a lot of long corners, so it's quite hard on the tires. So it's all about it's all skill that you've learned throughout the years and experience that get you to be the fastest here. So
how is it for you, Amna? What do you think to Zandvoort?
Oh, I love Zandvoort. I've been here last year in F1 Academy, and I just love how the track goes from uphill to downhill to going almost sideways around the banking in T3. It's very physical, and I love that part of the challenge.
Eleven of the 15 F1 Academy drivers are being supported by F1 teams. Hamda is supported by the Red Bull Racing Pepe Jeans Academy program. Amna is supported by the Visa Cash App Academy program. Basically, what that means is you're both part of the Red Bull setup. You're both in your Red Bull gear here. How helpful is that in terms of racing drivers who are learning their craft, developing your careers, to be part of the Red Bull setup? Because let's be honest, they've not done badly over the years in Formula One Red Bull, have they?
Yeah. Well, they help us a lot in terms of preparation. I would say the sim work that I've done with them, I've never experienced anything like that. So it's really interesting to see how detailed their sim is. It's so close to reality. And also just in general, the support I get from the physical side and the mental side as well. It helps a lot, and it's something that I'm going to take with me in my future career as well.
Yeah, I mean, they help us a lot from preparation in the sim to physical training in the gym. They're always giving us feedback and reports now and then. So having their support, not just, you know, in the racing side, but also in the media side with exposure and giving, you know, showing our names out there to the world is also something that's really meaningful and something we could take with us to the upcoming years or upcoming career we would like to go to next.
We've had an email. F1explains@f1.com is the place to send your questions. You can send them via an email or via a voice note. Now, Lucy is in the UK and has emailed us. Lucy says, how easy is it for a driver to stay calm during a race and not get too excited or angry? I mean, we've got a great context for this question because especially when you've crashed into your sister, that's a different thing entirely. But yeah, how difficult is it to keep your head when the adrenaline's pumping, when the crowd's, you know, being loud, when you know sort of the stakes are high? It must be difficult to keep a cool head. So what would you say to Lucy?
Yeah, well, especially with the F1 weekends, there's a lot going on around you. And so sometimes it's difficult to have that calm kind of atmosphere. But what I do normally is when I'm in the car, I try to listen to the engine or just to take my focus, shift my focus somewhere else.
Oh, that's interesting.
And, yeah, it helps me get a bit calm and my thoughts then stop running around. So yeah.
Yeah. And there any tips from you that you've got similar that you do to keep yourself cool and calm during a race?
For me, I just stay away from everyone. I just sit alone somewhere and, you know, take take my own time.
I can't help but notice, and don't take this the wrong way, this isn't going very well. You're currently recording a live podcast in front of a load of people. This staying away from everyone doesn't seem to be going brilliantly well. Are you all right with this?
Yeah, it's fine.
That's fine, that's good. That's good. Okay, I'm glad. We're glad you're here. Thank you for taking a break from that tactic. Let's get on to another one of our listener emails. This is from Anna, who is in Sweden. Anna says, as well as Formula 2, Formula 3 and F1 Academy, there are so many different junior racing categories all over the world. How do young drivers choose which to race in? Good question, Anna, because obviously you guys have both raced in the Italian F4. Handa was the first woman to score a podium in that category. Bettini, you've raced in Saudi Arabian F4, Formula Regional Europe, the Formula Regional Asian Championship, all these fantastic racing series. So to answer Anna's question, how do you choose where to race? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of options in the junior series, but I would say, obviously, F4 Italian is the strongest F4 series out there, so that's why I did it, and it helped me be a better driver. So competing with those who are strong then makes you stronger, and I think that helped me a lot in my career. And just in general, I think F1 Academy is one of the steps also that helped me a lot in my career in terms of exposure and just going to these amazing venues, these tracks that we don't really have access to in other junior series. So
I actually want to pick up on that, because last year, you know, F1 Academy is building. It's getting bigger and better every year. And last year, the races were, most of them, except Texas, the season finale, were racing behind closed doors. This year, they're part of the F1 circus. You unfortunately get people bothering you to do things like interviews and podcasts like me. There's loads of fans everywhere. That must be something to get used to as well as just the racing, because we all know the job of a modern racing driver is far more than just sitting in the car.
Yeah, I mean, I actually admire the fact that we have a lot of things to do in between. Not too much, obviously, but to a certain extent, because let's say I had a really bad qualifying session and I would like to take my mind off it, and doing this, for example, is, you know, cheering me up and putting me in a better mood for the next race. So I really admire the fact that we're doing this media and meeting new people, trying to introduce ourselves more to the world outside. So I actually really enjoy it more than driving sometimes.
Listen, any time you've had a bad session, a bad race, or a bad qualifying, you think, do you know what I'd like to do? Set my mind off it. I'll go and record a podcast. We're here for you. Come and find F1 Explained. We'll set one up for you. Welcome anytime. You've got an open invitation. We've only got you for a few more minutes, so I just want to do a couple more questions. This one is from Brian in New Jersey. Brian, thank you for your email. Brian says, I was wondering what a driver does immediately after a race.
Oh, what we do after a race? Well, we do have a debrief with the team. So all of us gather with the engineers and we give feedback to how the car felt from the beginning of the race to the end of the race. Tire deg and all of that feedback that would help them then make the car better for the next race or for the upcoming race. So yeah, that's what we do. We spend quite a lot of time doing that. And then after that, sometimes I just pack up and I go home.
Pack yourself and go home. That's a great answer. Simplicity sometimes. How about yourself?
Yeah, we do a debrief, and then I would more so like pack my things, look at the car, talk to the mechanics, enjoy some time, take away, you know, end on a good note.
Do you have people help you pack your things? Because I know there are certain Formula One drivers, I won't name any names in particular, Alex Albon. Quite chaotic, often forget things. Do you have people help you out with this? Because I believe in stuff all over the world if I travel around the world as often as you guys do.
No, I wouldn't, because I don't trust anyone with my stuff. They would lose it as well. So I'd rather do everything myself.
That's a common thing with racing drivers. You like to be in control. And then obviously to flip that on its head, we're recording this podcast on the Saturday. You've done qualifying. The first race is later today. So how about pre-race prep? Are there specific things you like to sort of go through, specific routines? I know some Formula One drivers who I've spoke to have really rigid structures they stick to, others sort of a bit more chilled. How about you two?
Well, for me, I would listen to some music that helps me get into the mood. I would say I like to be pumped before the race, so I would do that. And then also we have some warm-up things that we do, a routine like reaction time and just skipping any warm-up that would help us get physically prepared. But that's about it, and then I just chill around next to my car. But I take that time before jumping in the car as a moment where I wouldn't speak to many people, just to be focused.
We've got you guys for a couple more minutes, so I just want to get one more question in. This is obviously, as I mentioned earlier, F1 Academy's second season. It's growing in popularity all over the world. We see the grandstands when we're here at races packed to watch you guys out on circuit. How much are you enjoying racing in it and being a part of it?
No, I enjoy it very much. I enjoy seeing, you know, also my team, VCAR, driving on track. I get to meet the F1 drivers, and I also had them come to the grid in Jeddah to wish me luck. So it's really nice to feel like I'm a part of a Formula One team family, not just the name, but also representing them in various ways. So I really do enjoy it, and I really will take it for granted, especially since it's my last year in F1 Academy. So, yeah. For sure, I'm taking every moment.
Yeah, I think it's just a really great atmosphere. It's my last year in F1 Academy as well, so we want to make the most out of it. And Zandvoort is an amazing place to be at. Everyone here is amazing, so yeah.
Everyone's lovely, aren't they? Yeah, everyone is so lovely here at Zandvoort and really looked after us. Well, Hamda, Amna, it is so great of you to come and join us on F1 Explains, taking time out of your busy schedule that you've just been talking about to come up to the lovely people here at Paddock Club and have a chat to us. We really, really appreciate it. Good luck for the rest of the weekend, for the rest of the season, and we'll hope to check back in with you before the end of the season. Thank you so much for coming to see us at F1 Explains.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And that was Hamda and Amna Al-Kabezi. So great to speak to them in Zandvoort. Really enjoyed that. They are racing this weekend, in fact. F1 Academy Round 5 is at the Singapore Grand Prix. Go to f1academy.com or follow the series on Instagram for all the latest. And you can watch live races on the F1 Academy YouTube channel or on F1 TV. So thanks once again to F1 Paddock Club for hosting us. We recorded a few podcasts there, including one with the 1996 world champion Damon Hill, all about how to race for the title. You can listen to that by scrolling back through the feed. And maybe you fancy experiencing the hospitality, the food, the incredible view of the track that you get in F1 Paddock Club. Just search for F1 Paddock Club online to find out more. Tickets.formula1.com is the place to go for grandstand race tickets. You could be there when the 2024 title is decided, or plan a trip for 2025. Australia, China, Japan, Saudi Arabia, and Miami are the first stops next season. And we've even got an episode on how the F1 calendar is created. So go and check that one out too. Right, a couple more things before I go. First, live show news. Katie Osborne and I will be at the US Grand Prix in Austin, Texas. Once again, we're doing a live show on the amphitheatre stage near the F1 fan zone on Saturday evening, 6:15, after F1 qualifying. Hello to Karen, Ryan and Daniel from New Zealand, and also Dylan, who are all going to be there. We are excited to meet you guys. And if you'll be there, email us f1explains@f1.com and we might be able to make you part of the show. Or at the very least, come and say hello afterwards. And by the way, make sure you're listening and following F1 Explains and F1's other official podcasts, F1 Beyond the Grid and F1 Nation. Right, that's your lot. Thank you so much for listening. Katie Osborne and I will be back very soon. Don't forget, we've got new episodes right here every Friday. Bye for now.